Thank you for joining us here at Cinema School, where bad movies go to live.
Haley's coming, and he's landed in our backyard!
Cinema School is hosted by Jake and Colin.
Killer clowns from outer space. Holy shit.
Just a word of quick warning. Some of these films are R-rated, and not intended for everyone to see.
I'll be greased and fried. What in blue blazes the circus doing up in these parts?
Also, our podcast will contain spoilers, so if you have not seen the movie we will discuss, pause the podcast now. Watch the film and then rejoin us. Otherwise, listener discretion is advised.
I love the circus. Come on, maybe we can get us some free passes. Come on, boo.
Hello and welcome back to the Cinema Stool. My name is Jake Fackler.
I'm Tyler Butler.
And today we will be discussing the 1988 horror comedy classic, Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
In space, no one can eat ice cream.
That's such a great tagline. Oh. I love it. This film is starring Grant Kramer, Suzanne Snyder, John Allen Nelson, and John Vernon, directed by Stephen Chiodo.
Okay, Jake, since you're the obvious true fan of this movie, since it's your favorite bad movie, why don't you give us a little plot summary of it?
Alright, Tyler. During nighttime in a small town, an alien spaceship resembling a circus tent arrives and two young adults, Mike Tobacco.
Golly, I wish I had that last name.
That is a great last name. And Debbie Stone discover who were the ones that came inside the spaceship. And those are the aliens that look like clowns, who are secretly killing humans with circus-themed weapons. It's up to Mike Tobacco and Officer Dave Hansen to stop these clowns, or else humankind is doomed.
All because of some cotton candy and some popcorn.
What a great premise to a movie. I mean, I just don't understand why people have a problem with this movie. I don't see where this could go wrong at all.
I don't know. I mean, for one thing, it's not supposed to be funny, but it is.
Oh, it's absolutely hilarious, and I'm going to disagree with you. I think it was a little tongue-in-cheek. They were meaning
well,
it to
yeah,
be kind of funny.
Now that I think about it, they did have some scenes in there where it was just meant to be funny. Like the first impression, whenever you first saw the clowns, they were supposed to be, you know, funny, happy, and, like, you're just like, why would anybody be scared of these?
Exactly, and I also thought it was kind of funny before we get into the movie too much. Did you notice that even though these clowns were, like, terrifying looking, they really, I mean, they didn't look like your average ordinary clowns. I mean, they did have a kind of a scary feel to them, but nobody was frightened by them when they saw them outside of the town.
Because clowns are supposed to be funny. You're supposed to like clowns. You're supposed to enjoy watching clowns at the circus, you know?
I agree, but there is a huge amount of the population that are terrified by clowns, and to think that really no one is that scared of these clowns when they first come up, just it kind of read wrong to me. I don't know.
I'm one of those people.
Well, before we get into it again, I mentioned that this movie is directed by Stephen Chiodo.
Chiodo.
Which I looked him up on IMDb, and actually, he's only directed 4 movies.
Really?
But the interesting thing is, did you notice this movie had a lot of puppets in it?
Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, Stephen Chiodos was actually the puppeteer on Team America World Police.
Really?
He was the main puppeteer on that movie, which I just thought was hilarious, because that's a funny movie, and we'll definitely have to cover that at some point.
Oh, yeah.
But I just thought that was really interesting. So, let's go ahead and get into the movie. What was some of your first impressions about it?
Well, you know, I thought the first scenes, I was like, oh, Lord. The acting in this is just absolutely terrible, but for some reason I couldn't stop watching because I liked it so much.
I definitely agree the acting was terrible. I actually looked up some of these main characters. Grant Kramer, who plays Mike Tobacco.
Mike Tobacco.
Was so unfamiliar in films. He doesn't even have a picture on IMDb. which is never a good sign. I think he was in a couple other movies before this, but I mean, he never really had much of a career. And then Suzanne Snyder, who played Debbie Stone, was actually, if you remember, she played a character named Deb in Weird Science. she was the girl that I can't remember whether it's...
I thought she looked familiar. I was sitting there thinking, watching the movie, I was like, I've seen this girl before, but I don't know what she's been in.
Yeah, she played the girl that I can't remember
the blonde,
whether it was...
The blonde one, though.
Whether it was Gary or Wyatt that ended up with her at the end. One of them ended up with her at the end. I'm wanting to say it was Wyatt, but I can't remember
that actor's
name.
No, Wyatt ended up with the brunette.
Okay, well, then it was Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah.
Gary, okay. I knew it was one of them, but... and then John Allen Nelson, he is actually still working. He plays Dave Hansen in this movie, and he's actually still working. He's kind of one of those guys that has, like, guest spots on CSI and stuff like that, so he's still working.
Just little parts, but he's still in business.
Yeah. But John Vernon, who played Officer Mooney, which I absolutely loved his character in this movie... If you remember, he is Dean Wormer from Animal House.
That's right. Yeah.
And he always, it seems like, of course, he was in Dirty Harry as well. But it seems like in all his movies, he plays the same type of character.
Person.
He is always out to get those college kids, man.
The stern, lawful person that needs to have justice.
Exactly. College students listening, beware. John Vernon's out to get you.
He's going to get you.
So let's go ahead and get into the movie. The movie starts off with kind of a shot of the city, Crescent Cove, and it's a quiet Friday night. Not a whole lot's going on. We see Officer Mooney doing his
patrolling his area, trying to look for them damn kids.
Ever vigilant, ever vigilant, John Vernon. So then we go up to what they call the top of the world, which is basically like a makeout point.
Yeah.
We see Mike and Debbie. They're on, like, I guess, one of their first dates. It doesn't really say. I mean, they're not... I don't think they're established.
They don't go too in-depth with it.
Yeah, but, I mean, we really don't care either, to be honest with you. And then the Terenzi brothers... pull up in their ice cream truck. What do you think about that?
Just the quote that they said. Oh, like, get your ice cream, enjoy a delicious treat while you screw. That...
And I wasn't sure, watching this the first time a couple years ago, that I wasn't sure if they were actually, like, actual ice cream salesmen or if they were just kids screwing around until they said that line. And then I was like, okay, this must be, you know, one of the teenagers.
That's what I thought at first, too. I was like, this has got to be some sort of joke because no college, high school, whatever they are.
I think it's college students. I think it's stated.
Yeah. No college kid would literally go out and buy an ice cream truck just for a little prank because college kids are a little short on money.
Well, also, I mean, they did mention that they rented the truck, but they also went, and I thought it was hilarious, that they mentioned that they rented it because they thought that'd be a good way to pick up chicks.
Yeah.
Because, you know, chicks love ice cream, man, you know? I mean, everybody knows that. But, no, I thought that was really interesting, and I automatically like those characters.
They're the comic relief of the movie.
Exactly.
They're the characters that you can't wait to see next.
Exactly, because, I mean, they're just always doing something funny, and they have some terrible lines.
Yes.
Like, later on, he says something like, if there are killer clowns, then I must be Porky Pig.
Yeah.
Like, it's, I mean, they have some groaners.
Right as soon as I thought that, this is after, like, I've watched the movie a few times, as soon as he said that, I said, well, you better start stuttering.
You know, I thought the same thing. Like, I expected the next scene when he saw the clowns for him to say something like, well, be-dee-be-dee-be-dee, but that's all, folks.
Yeah.
Because you know, that was a missed opportunity, right?
Yeah.
They should have done something like that.
Especially for an intended comedy horror movie this is supposed to be. They missed a great opportunity for that.
I definitely agree. So, we see what looks like a comet shoot across the sky, and, we see the two kids, Mike and Debbie, decide to go look for it. Now, I love how Debbie's all like, oh, let's go look for it. That'll be fun. And you can tell that Mike's just got one thing on his mind.
Yeah.
He just wants to get her alone so he can, you know, make some sweet loving. But then she's like, let's go look. And
he's
just
like, it's a million miles away. We're not going to go look for that. She said, it landed right there.
And I love his answer. He's like, okay.
Like just the overdramatic... Okay.
Like
you'd see in a Broadway play.
Yeah, he's so disappointed about it. So then, once we see the spaceship go over across again, we see that old man. Now, I definitely want to discuss this old man.
Me too.
This old man is sitting there on his porch reading a book with his dog, his trusty hound, Pooh Bear.
What book was he reading? Did you ever catch that?
No, it shows in one of the pictures that it has something of Halley's Comet.
That's right, because as soon as he saw it, like, he's just reading his book, and then the meteorite hits. Just what he says, it just makes me laugh every time.
Every line this old man says is absolutely hilarious. Like, he jumps up and he just automatically assumes, since he saw Haley's comment in his book, that it's Haley's comment. Never mind that Haley's comment went by like 2 years before that. Yeah. I think it was like 86, something like that. No, never mind that. Haley's comet has came, and it landed
God,
on...
By God, it's Haley's comet in my front yard.
And it disappointed me when he died.
Yeah.
You know, because spoiler alert, he dies. But, that old man just goes right in his house and picks up a shovel and a pail. Like, it's just sitting right there. Yeah. Just, he's ready for Haley's comet to land, and it finally has, so he's ready to go.
Which, if he'd read anything about Haley's comet is a very decent-sized meteor.
Exactly.
He thinks he can get a shovel and a pail and just dig it up like it's a little bitty pond rock.
I know. I mean, this pail is probably not even a foot wide. And he's like, oh, I'm going to get Haley's comet in and take it back home.
I'm
going
to be rich.
So then he goes looking for the comet, and he discovers that it's a circus tent.
What in blue blazes is a circus doing in town?
And it amazes me how he is not a bit, other than asking that, he is not a bit concerned that there is just randomly a circus tent back there. You know what I mean?
The thought never crossed his mind that, hey, I don't remember reading about this. Why is there a circus tent in my backyard, basically?
Exactly.
When did this start? Why was I not informed?
I know, but he's just automatic, and it's the middle of the night, and he's like, we gotta go to the ticket booth and get us some free passes.
The things that he says, like, they're so backwoods and country that you're just like, people from the southern states that have watched this movie, they're like, do we really sound like that?
And is it ever mentioned, like, where this is located at? I know it says Crescent Cove.
It doesn't name the state.
I know usually places like that, it kind of sounds like it would be northeast.
Northeast.
You know, like Martha's Vineyard around that area. Because Crescent Cove, you know, you kind
of
think...
Vermont. I'm thinking it has more of a Vermont feel to it.
But this old man was straight out of Alabama. Like, he was backwoods as they come, and for some reason he's living in... Like, it kind of reminded me of Where the Red Fern Grows.
Yes.
Like, that kid
exactly
in that
it.
Book, grown up. That's him, you know what I mean? So... Then Mike and Debbie go into the spaceship. And can I just say, at this point is when I began to absolutely hate Mike. He got on my last nerve.
Yeah, the part whenever they got out of the truck.
And he jumps up on it.
What does it say? Engine intuition say that path go that way.
And she is just eating this stuff up, you know?
Yeah, like,
she's
I would
just
punch
like,
that
he
little...
is funny as hell, and I don't... None of what he said, and I can't even imagine that being funny then.
No.
You know?
There's no way that was funny then.
And when they actually go into the spaceship, and he's looking around, and he starts doing the whole circus, like,
come
announcer.
Come one, come all, you know, yeah, that kind of person.
Half man, half woman, the perfect double date. Like, I wanted to punch him in the face.
I'm like, what makes you think that's funny? You need to shut up. Just, he's, I don't know.
It was awful.
Something about him... I don't know, I just wanted to literally jump in the movie, punch him in the face, and say, do you think that's funny? Do you think that's funny?
Okay, so they go in, and for some reason they just start walking in, you know, looking around and everything, and then they go to this end of this hallway with these three doors, and for some reason he just randomly, you know, just pushes some buttons and the doors open.
Yeah.
I don't know why they would open, like how he knows the code to get in. You know at this point what the hell kind of movie you're watching.
And to point out, the buttons were shaped like clown noses.
Oh, I didn't catch that, but
yeah,
they were, weren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure were. Huh. Okay, so they go down this elevator chute, and they go into a room that has cotton candy hanging everywhere.
I know what you're thinking. Cotton candy in a spaceship, I mean, how would that be scary? But the thing is that whenever they were discussing it, Debbie was like, people don't, like, hang cotton candy like that. I'm sitting there thinking, how the hell do you know how people make cotton candy?
Because she had just said that she had never seen anything like that before. I'm sure her parents don't work in a cotton candy factory. So how does she know how they make cotton candy? I agree
exactly,
completely.
I mean.
But that whole scene just played really weird for me. And I guess I'm looking too much into it because it is that kind of movie. And you should just... I mean, really, you have to give this movie a lot of mulligans.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to accept a lot of what's going on. And he just, by the same token, Mike just automatically assumes that's what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, well, obviously there's a cotton candy factory in the shape of a circus tent.
How do you think that just randomly overnight a cotton candy factory just appears in your town? Like, you think that would be something they would have town meetings about.
And yeah, you've lived there for what, 19, 20 years, and not once did you think, this is weird, I've never even heard of this before.
I don't know, that whole scene, like I said, just played really weird for me. So, for some reason, she just automatically assumes that, well, I should back up. They peel off part of the cotton candy, and what do they discover inside?
A face.
These clowns are storing people in these cotton candy cocoons, as they call them.
And the thing is that Mike said he knew the guy. What was the guy's name that he was in the cocoon?
Joe Lombardo.
Joe Lombardo.
Which, Joe Lombardo, and maybe I'm thinking Vince Lombardi.
Yeah.
But Joe Lombardo sounded like a sports guy.
Yeah.
To me. I don't know. Did we ever even meet Joe Lombardo?
No, we never even met him. He's just a character that they randomly named in the movie. They were like, this is Joe Lombardo. I saw him last week. I'm like, all right, well, I kind of want to figure out who this guy is and why he's in there.
I guess that's just something you have to accept for the movie and just kind of give it that. So they run out. They run back up the elevator after they saw a clown hanging another cocoon. So they decide they got to get out of there.
Yeah.
And she just automatically assumes that this comet that they saw is the spaceship.
But the quote that made me laugh is she said, "Now, I don't believe in UFOs, but I'm thinking this could be a space alien ship."
She's like, "I don't believe in UFOs, but if I did, I'd say we're standing in one."
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how a normal, sane person could just automatically make that jump that fast that, oh, we're in a cotton candy place. This must be a spaceship. Like, I don't know how you make that jump.
I don't even know. It's just, that's such a wild guess.
It is.
You'd be like, oh, cotton candy factory. This must be an alien spaceship. Wow.
Like, I mean, she's right. That's the ultimate thing. I mean, that's what it is. But I don't understand how you would jump to that so quickly. So, they run to the police station, and I'm gonna go ahead and say while we're talking about this, on the way there, she says, "We gotta go to the police about this," and he's like, "Oh yeah, we're gonna go tell them that there's, you know, clowns with cotton candy cocoons and popcorn guns. They're really gonna believe us." And she says, "I have a friend who will believe us." I automatically knew it was an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah,
they just set that up perfectly for that.
It had to have been, unless it was either one of two probabilities. It was either an ex-boyfriend or a relative.
Exactly.
And but more than likely, it was going to be an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, I just had, because she said a good friend.
Yeah.
So if she would have said, if it would have been a relative, she would have said, "My dad works there.
My dad, my cousin, whatever."
But no, I automatically knew it had to be an ex-boyfriend.
Crazy Uncle Joe works at the police station. He's a night guard. He knows some shit about some crazy alien clowns.
Yeah, I mean, he's seen some shit. I would believe that the old man was her relative. As crazy as their shit was that they came up with, I would believe that. But, so they go to the station, and we see Dave Hansen and Officer Mooney.
Officer Mooney.
Which just, I love Officer Mooney in this movie. So, they tell Dave what's going on, and he's willing to play along with it. He's like, okay, we'll go check this out, blah, blah, blah. Now, Officer Mooney's not having it.
Officer Mooney's like, "I don't put up with that kind of shit, you damn college kids."
Like, he just, you know, he's like, everything that they say, they're just like, you know, you college students don't have anything else to do but waste our time. So, while we're in the police station, the two guys that Mooney brings in, I think this happened a little bit earlier in the movie. There were two guys that Mooney caught. He said he caught them drinking wine in public.
Well, he said they were drinking.
No, wine was stated. They were drinking wine.
The two boys said they were drinking wine. He said that we had a bottle of wine and we were just walking around town.
Because it was a beautiful night.
Yeah, because it was a beautiful night.
So are we supposed to insinuate that they're a gay couple?
I don't know.
That's kind of the way it read for me, because they're kind of leathered up, and you know, in the 80s...
Yeah, but that was the punk look in the 80s. That one guy's got like the kind of, I don't know how you'd say, he's got like little strings of hair just kind of dangling, but it looks greasy.
Tyler, honestly though, would me and you ever go out in public and drink wine because it was a beautiful night?
I wouldn't say so.
Exactly. And I mean, it doesn't add anything or take away anything from the movie. I just thought that was kind of interesting that they kind of shoehorned that in right after, you know, because this was in the '80s, you know, this was right after the big, you know, like gay rights movement and everything. I wasn't sure if that's the way they were playing or not, but that's definitely the way I took it.
But the way I took it as they knew they were in trouble, but they kind of insinuated that they were still trying to be a smartass about it.
I didn't think that they were being a smartass.
I kind of thought about it that way, and then I looked at his face. I rewound it back, and then I looked at his face, and he seemed sincere about it. So I kind of disagree and agree with you.
See, I think that he was genuinely sincere. Like, I don't think they were. I really don't think they were probably even doing anything that bad.
Probably not.
But Officer Mooney has just got to stick up his ass about the college students.
Oh, yeah.
Which, so we'll move on, and we'll go to the convenience store. This is when the clowns actually storm the city.
Yeah, they start walking in the city, and they're just, like, taking it over. But the funny part about it is, this is kind of where the comedy element comes out. Before the clown walks in the store, he is just walking around, and the way they walk is just so goofy. It's kind of slow, but comedic. Kind of like a...
They, like, shuffle.
Yeah. Well, that one that's outside the store, he kind of, like, takes big steps, but they're slow. Like, he's just overweight.
Very animated.
Yeah, like a cartoon.
Well, also, while we're talking about that, did you notice the way they talked? Of course, they don't speak English. They talk in their own little alien language, but I could not help but think of WALL-E.
Yes.
That's exactly what they sounded like to me. They sounded like the little robot from WALL-E.
Animatronic, very high-pitched gibberish.
But they go to the convenience store, and...
Right outside the convenience store,
mm-hmm.
This kind of made it funny that I was... Like, he's getting ready to walk. He's just looking around town, and, like, he stops, you automatically know why he stopped, because he saw somebody, and he didn't want to be pointed out. So he stops and just mimics that little animatron in front of the convenience store and just kind of starts waving stuff, you know? So it automatically thinks that they are smart, but they're not that smart.
But see, here's the problem with that, though. If he didn't want to be seen... Why are the other clowns just walking around in the convenience store looking at stuff if he didn't want to be seen? What's the point of that?
Well, now that I think about it, he's just... Clowns are meant to be funny.
I think that's what it was. I think it was genuinely just supposed to be a funny scene.
Trying to be funny, you know, but... Yeah, just trying to be funny.
Yeah. So they go into the convenience store and they're just ransacking the place, you know. They're ruining a bunch of stuff and they're...
It doesn't seem like they're attempting to ransack it. They're just picking up stuff and looking at it.
Yeah, exactly.
And then
shit
just happens.
Yeah. And I love the part where the little clown with the green hair takes the shaving cream and he just like sprays it and he doesn't notice he's spraying it in the other one's face. You know, I thought that was just priceless. So they continue to like ransack the convenience store and we go back to the police station. And Mooney is there by himself because Officer Hansen went with Mike and Debbie to check out the supposed spaceship. So he's sitting there answering the phones, and he's getting all these calls about the killer clowns that are killing people. And he thinks that it's all a rise.
That just what he says. He's like, he answers the phone. He's like, "I'm sorry, ma'am. You need to speak up. You need to speak clearer." And you can hear over the phone, "Killer clowns are killing people." And he's like.
The Trinzy brothers.
He said the Trinzy brothers must have the whole town in on this.
Well, he starts with that assumption, but then as it goes on, he starts to think that it's a rise to get him to quit the force.
Yeah.
Like, he thinks the whole town is in on something just to get him to quit the force. Like, how self-neurotic can you be?
Someone that takes pride in their job.
He takes too much pride in his job.
Like, I'm sure he goes home... And is just, like, insinuating that his wife is committing crimes.
I agree. He probably does.
You're cooking this damn chicken too long!
He probably frisks her every time he gets home. And not in a sexual way. We'll go back to Debbie and Mike and Officer Hansen. They drop Debbie off at home. They say, you know, lock the door. And this is where we discover that it's an ex-boyfriend.
Yeah. Because Mike is just freaking out about it. He didn't know. Of course, I mean, how stupid can you be if you don't assume that I have a friend in the force?
Exactly. Especially a friend you've never heard of.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the girls usually like to, you know, you like to keep that stuff private. You don't want that stuff, because, I mean, there's no point in it anymore, you know? But, so, I love how he makes Mike sit in the back of the cop car,
even when
Debbie gets out of the car.
Every
that was
time.
Great. So, they drop Debbie off at home, and they go up to the top of the world to find the tent. Well, the tent's gone.
Yeah.
Of course, the tent is gone.
Gigantic hole in the ground.
And that's a point I wanted to bring up, too. Well, that's where the tent was, in that big hole in the ground. And the officer still thinks he's making it up. Like,
yeah.
Okay,
like
then how do you explain the big hole in the ground?
Like, he literally dug up the hole himself in the matter of, what?
Like an
10 hour. 10 minutes to an hour.
Yeah.
He dug what seems like an 100-foot wide
no
hole.
No telling how deep.
No, fathoms and fathoms.
Yes. Just for the prank, just to all to get a rise out
yeah.
of the cops, which, I mean, I'm sorry. College students may get bored, but they don't get that bored.
Yeah.
We should know. So once they leave the hole, Officer Hansen just automatically assumes that Mike and Debbie have made everything up, so he actually arrests Mike. He puts him in the handcuffs, puts him in the back of the car, and for whatever reason, he decides to drive up to where the top of the world is
yeah.
and look around, and that's where he discovers...
No insinuation ever. That he needed to drive up to the top of the world.
No, and I mean, I don't think we're led to believe that you have to go past there in order to get there. If you did, why wouldn't they have stopped before they went to see the tent?
Exactly.
So, we get there, and everybody's gone. Nobody's there, but there's all this cotton candy everywhere.
Cotton candy in the car. The cars are empty. There's like maybe 7 to 10 cars there. They're all empty. But what got me is that the trunks and the hoods were open.
And the flashers were going off,
yeah.
too. Yeah, I saw that, too. I didn't understand what was going on with that.
I didn't either. I think it led to insinuate that
they ransacked.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. But it's kind of funny that Officer Hansen opens the car door of a Jeep, and he sees that guy's glasses in there. And I can't remember the guy's name right now, but he goes and he shows Mike, and Mike's like, "Oh, that's so and so's glasses.
Yeah.
They got him. He's dead. Like he is showing no emotion that his friends are just dying all around
him. His face is just like, "I told you so."
Yeah, like he doesn't care that his friends are dying. He's just trying to prove this cop wrong
yeah.
at this point. Like he got him. He's dead. Like I told you so.
Yeah.
So you know. So then they drive back into the town and they're looking for the clowns. You know. And they stumble across a clown who is giving these people waiting for a bus ride a shadow puppet scene.
I just want to point out that this clown, I hate clowns, and this clown scares the living shit out of me. Just the way he looks, he's got red hair poking out of the sides, but he's kind of bald, but he's got like 3 tufts of hair going out. It's got balls on the end of him, and his face is just creepy to me.
All of the clowns were creepy to me,
yeah.
though.
What he's doing is that you know what his intent is at first. He first starts out waving at this little old lady. And, you know, she waves back, and she's kind of getting excited. So he starts, like, all you see is him doing stuff with his fingers, and then it turns, and then it goes to the wall. And he's making shadow puppets.
The first one, I think, was a bunny rabbit.
A bunny.
Which, it didn't look that complex.
No.
But it was still good, you know?
Yeah.
I love how the little old lady pokes her husband.
Yeah.
And I was just hoping that the husband would give her, like, one of those, "Oh, I don't care what you're doing,
yeah.
old lady." But he actually got into it, too.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cute, you know? They were both, you know, really getting into it.
And there was this young couple there, and there, as he was doing the shadow puppet show, and I automatically knew, I saw this guy and this girl, and they seemed to be about college age.
Yeah.
And I automatically knew that guy was going to say something, just be a dick about it. Everybody was like cheering. He goes, "Boo!"
Which I was expecting the clown to do something special to
yeah.
him, but he didn't. So the shadow puppets continue to get more and more complex.
Yeah.
He does the crossing of the Delaware
yeah.
with George Washington, and then like a hula girl. And then finally,
It was a genie girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It was something like that. But then finally, as Mike and Dave pull up, Mike's like, "You gotta get him, there's a clown, blah, blah, blah." And he says, "Hold on, I just have to see how this plays out."
No, he said, I just want to see this.
Yeah.
He's interested in seeing the puppet show. He's like, I really want to see what happens next.
So then, the clown makes a dinosaur that the shadow comes and eats the people. Like, this cop just let probably 4 or 5 people die. Just because
yeah.
he wanted to watch the shadow puppet. Like, this cop should be fired, man. This is not a good cop. Like, he's not doing anything to protect these people.
No.
And another thing, did you notice that there were only 2 cops in the whole city?
In the entire movie. Well, yeah, in the entire city. Like, excluding the state police.
Yeah. I mean, and I know there was, like, a throwaway line at the beginning that said, like, the main guy was off it on vacation or whatever. But okay, then if he's there, three cops for a highly populated town. And this isn't like a little town like where we're from.
No,
this town has got a college there. Because they mentioned the university. So
it's
really
about the size of Bowling Green, I'm going to guess.
I would say. And really, could you imagine three cops patrolling Bowling Green?
No.
No wonder these killer clowns came here. I mean, they knew they could take this place for nothing.
Yeah.
So we move to the Big Top Burger. Which, and I know they were keeping in the theme with the movie, but wouldn't it have been nice if there was like one throwaway line at the beginning saying something about these clowns? You know what I mean? Like, and, you know, why would there be a Big Top Burger in this?
What is the reason for naming it Big Top Burger?
Exactly. And one throwaway line. You know, oh, well, this is where P.T. Barnum did his first search. Anything. I don't care. I would have accepted it. But there was no reason. But, okay, I'll give you that. So, we see this little girl eating food with her family.
And her mom's, like, just trying to get her to eat.
Yeah.
You know, little kids are. They're stubborn. They don't want to eat if they don't want to eat.
Exactly. So, this little girl looks out the window, and she sees one of the clowns.
And this dude is huge. He's a big clown.
And I gotta tell you, Tyler, this is the one scene that no matter how many times I watch this movie, for a little bit, for whatever reason, kind of worries me.
I know. It's so, the movie, it is comedic. It is a horror movie, though. But, and there are rare moments where it'll try to scare you. This is the big one.
Exactly. This clown is motioning, doing the finger motion for this little girl to come outside. So she starts slowly coming outside, and you notice that he's got a big hammer behind him.
Yeah,
and for whatever reason,
hammer.
It's one of those scenes. Everybody has one of those scenes in a movie that no matter how many times they watch that movie, they think it might be different this time.
Yeah.
I still can't help but think maybe this clown is going to kill this little girl.
Yeah.
I know that may sound ridiculous to some of you people that have heard this movie, but for some reason, I'm worried every time I see that scene.
Every time I watch it, I'm like, no, little girl, don't go outside!
I totally agree. But luckily, right as soon as she gets to the door, like inches away from this clown, the mom pulls her back and says, hey, you're not supposed to go anywhere until you eat your food. So I literally had to wipe the sweat off my brow.
Yeah. And you could see on the clown's face, he was like, shit.
Like, he was pissed.
Yeah.
I even think he made, like, a little war cry.
Yeah. He had a smile on his face, and instantly it just went, oh, you son of a bitch.
He was mad about that, which I thought was funny, to show the clown show a little bit of emotion. Granted, not very much, because they got a painted smile on their face.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool to see that little change there. So, we get this great little montage about these clowns just going around harvesting people in their cotton candy cocoons. I mean,
one of the scenes that kind of got out, kind of made me chuckle, is whenever one of the bigger clowns rang the doorbell, and you know, they don't speak English, but you hear in like a little robotic kind of, the bigger clowns have like a deeper, they have a little bit of deeper, but they're still kind of high-pitched robotic sounds. He goes, pizza!
Because it was, he was delivering pizza, and the girl's like, pizza?
She's like, pizza? Yeah.
Like, she's not excited about it. Okay, never mind the fact that it's three clowns delivering you pizza for some reason.
Well, it was just one, but then the two other ones came out, and then that little bitty one popped out of the pizza box.
Which was funny. And then we get another one where this big clown comes and delivers like a Valentine's present.
Yeah.
And the woman's like, Irv, was this from you? And like, the fact that they're clowns seem to absolutely not
cross their mind.
Yeah,
not at all.
Worry anyone in this place, which I just do not get. So, while they're still walking around, you know, killing everyone and everything, the little clown, which I've mentioned before, absolutely, he was just funny, he pulls up to this biker bar on this little bitty, like, tricycle, right?
Which, at first, it sounds like a big-ass hog.
It pulls up, and it's this little piece of shit tricycle. It was priceless. So, he pulls up, and the big biker guy comes over, and he's like, hey, man, can I take a ride on your bike? And the clown's like, mm-mm.
Yeah.
And so then he goes, can I beat the horn? And so then he proceeds to smash the guy's bike. Yeah. I love the one black guy in the back, because I'm pretty sure he's like the only black person in this movie. And he's like, should have let him ride the man's bike. Like, and then so he smashes the bike, and the clown gets really mad.
No, he doesn't get mad. He gets kind of sad because you hear him go, hmm.
Yeah. So then he disappears for a second, comes back with boxing gloves. And in the little robotic voice, I swear I think he says, put up your deuce.
I think he does.
I really think that's what he says. So then the big biker looks at him and he says, what are you going to do? Knock my block off? And then the clown proceeds to punch his head off.
Like, his head falls in a trash can.
And then the one black guy goes, damn! Yeah. like, why is it that every time in the 80s you have a black person in a movie, they have a line like this? Damn!
Damn, like, shit! Like, that is whack!
So, then we go back to the police station, and the phone is just ringing off the hook. And Mooney has decided he's just going to ignore all the calls. He's like, you know what? To hell with all of y'all.
Which I think is funny, is that, you know, PG-13 movies, they say the F-bomb maybe once or twice. He
not
says it once.
Not much.
Rarely. They may say it once or twice. He says it once in this movie, but as soon as he sees the phones, like, lighting up, ringing off the hook, he looks at it and he goes, freak you all.
Yeah, I thought that was weird, too, you know, because that would have been another perfect time to drop an F-bomb. But he does. He says, freak you all. Like, that doesn't even sound right,
no.
You know? I don't know. So then he proceeds to light up a cigar and just kick back and watch, you know, read a magazine. And then one of the clowns come into the station.
Walking so funny. Just kind of scooting his feet. He's a clown, too.
He was,
He was a big clown. Just kind of scooting his feet like he's a little 3-year-old that just got in trouble.
So, obviously, Mooney thinks it's all a prank, and he throws him in jail.
He said it's one of them killer clowns.
he proceeds to put handcuffs on him, and his hands come off. Like, because that's just a funny, you know, thing that happens.
Yeah, I mean, it's comical. They're supposed to be funny, like I've said before. But what proceeded for him to cuff him was that he put flowers in Mooney's face, and he said, oh, those for me, and then water
and
squirts
then
out.
And squirts him in the face, exactly. So Mooney puts him in the jail cell with the two guys he arrested earlier, which the guys that I think might be gay. And he has this little, like, party favor thing, you know, those little things that you blow and they come out and make that cool noise. Well, he blows it, and it grabs Mooney by the neck and slams him against the bars. So I love what these guys say, because they see this happen, and the one guy's like,
what are you in for?
Like, it's just a perfect thing to say right there. So we can pretty much safely assume that everybody in that place is going to die.
Yeah.
So Dave drops Mike off with his friends and then goes back to the police station. He sees that the place is empty and everything, so he goes to look for Mooney. He goes in the jail cells.
This part was creepy.
It
kind of creeped me out a little bit.
This was one of the rare creepy moments in this movie. He goes in the jail cells and sees that the two guys are wrapped up in cotton candy. So then he comes back into the office and he sees a clown sitting there.
Well, he goes around looking around like he's hauling for Mooney. He sees these footprints, like these clown clown shoe size footprints, and they're leading into the cells, like the cell area where they put the people in jail. And then he looks around, and there's just these colorful footprints everywhere, on the walls, the ceilings, the floor, the bars, in fact. So he comes back out, and he's, like, hollering for Mooney. And then he kind of stopped. Like, this is just a classic, you know, double take. Not like a double take. Like, he walks out.
It was a suspense moment.
Yeah, and he stops and just turns, and this clown, like, he's in a rolly chair. A spinny chair, and he just turns around. And he's just sitting there, and all of a sudden you see Mooney pop up, but you see the clown's arm move with him.
Yes, and I would like to go ahead and say right now, did you notice that they did not shy away from any, like, cliche thing you would think about a clown? Like, everything cliche you think about a clown, they have done in this movie, including ventriloquism. I mean, that's just kind of all that.
Anything
that would make you think of a clown or a circus.
What proceeds to happen is that Dave kind of, you know, questions. He says Mooney, or is he talking to Mooney or the clown?
I think he's talking to the clown.
Yeah, he's like, what are you doing here? And the clown looks at Mooney, and Mooney looks at the clown, you know, just kind of like a ventriloquist thing.
A basic ventriloquist movie.
Yeah, but what I noticed is that Mooney's face is just pale. Like you can tell that he's dead, because, like, whenever someone dies, their face just kind of turns whitish.
Yeah.
And he's got blood coming down from the end of his mouth.
Which was to mark, like, the ventriloquist lines for the chin, which I thought was clever. That was pretty good on their part, you know.
Which was really kind of creepy, in my opinion.
That was one of the creepy moments in the movie, which we didn't have a lot of those. But that was definitely one of them, which I appreciate in a movie like this. You know, if you got those couple of scenes that are kind of creepy, it's going to keep me enthralled.
Those scenes are what really makes it a horror movie.
I totally agree. So then we go back to Debbie's house, and she has been taking a shower.
Long shower, that I might add.
There is a lot going on, and she is still showering. So she's still got some of the popcorn from where they got shot with a popcorn gun on her back.
Yeah.
And she throws those clothes in the hamper.
And you can hear some sort of, like, almost chipmunk chatter. It's like, and as she's taking a shower, you see the clothes hamper kind of rocking back and forth. And you're like, oh, shit, something's going to happen. So she gets done with the shower. She dries herself off, and then it kind of cuts away, and then it comes back. Like, it cuts away to the clothes hamper again for like a second, and then automatically she's got her clothes back on, which is weird to me.
Well, they do have a cutscene in between. Do they? That does make sense, but yeah.
And so she puts her towel away, and she hears this chatter. So automatically she's like, oh shit, what the hell is that noise? And so she proceeds to open up the clothes hamper.
Which, I mean, is what any of us would do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously if you hear a noise in your clothes hamper or your...
Because, I mean, what's going to be in the clothes hamper? You know? I mean, what could be so bad in the clothes hamper? It's just dirty clothes, you know?
Yeah, but then, lo and behold, it was these little, almost like, do you remember though in Mario, like the fire plant?
That is what they reminded me of.
Yeah, but they were clown heads. And that kind of made me jump a little bit, because I didn't expect it.
But really, did those things even have a purpose?
Not really. Other than that, that was about it. If you remember, going back, that big clown that killed Mooney opened up a bag and grabbed some popcorn and threw it in a dumpster outside of a restaurant. And
yeah, like, but we never see that do anything other than eat that one guy.
Yeah, and
so
it doesn't
even
show them.
Okay, I guess that's their point, is to, you know, like, harm people.
It's like they're little babies.
But they were put down with such little of a fight. I mean, she sprays it with hairspray and sticks a water hose in its mouth.
Yeah, like, and pushes over the clothes hamper.
Yeah. Okay, and I love how she takes the shower curtain and covers them up. Like, oh, I got you. I'm going to cover you up with this plastic shower curtain. Like, that's really going to
Everybody
do
knows
it.
Clowns can't get through shower curtains.
I mean, that is so stupid. I mean, but it's just another one of those funny scenes in this movie where you're just like, okay, all right, shower
curtain.
I'll
let it slide.
Yeah,
we'll let it slide.
Mulligan again. We'll go with this. So she runs through her house, and all of the clowns are there.
Yeah.
You know, they've all, for whatever reason, have become fixated on her, and they're all coming for her. So there's that one great part where she's running around, and she goes to the door because she hears Mike's voice saying, hey, Debbie, open up, it's me. Of course, it's one of the clowns. I don't know why they can automatically just, you know, regenerate other people's voices, but I'll, you know, whatever, we'll go
with
that.
It's weird how they can imitate anything, and they can, like... But what got me was, whenever the door was closed, it sounded just like him, but whenever she opened the door, it sounded robotic.
It did, I agree. And, I mean, it kind of sounded like him, but kind of robotic. Like, you could tell there was a difference.
Like, it's like the door was a filter for the robotic noise.
So then, she proceeds to do what any of us would do in this situation, and jump out the window. But there are clowns waiting at the bottom of the window with a trampoline.
That made me laugh so hard.
They had fireman helmets on.
like in Dumbo, whenever those clowns have the it's more like a safety net sort of thing.
Yeah,
they're
but
just
I mean,
sitting
it's
there looking at her like, do it.
Like, go ahead, we'll get you. Like,
we got you covered.
I don't know why these clowns know firemen exit strategy procedures, but it made me laugh. And, and at this point, and I'm sure you people have realized this at this point, but this is the kind of movie you're in.
Yeah.
You know, you can either say this is stupid, or you can enjoy the ride you're on, because they are doing nothing but just shoveling you a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
You get to decide whether you open your mouth or not.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good analogy.
That does make sense, you know? So then we'll go ahead and jump to the end scene. Debbie gets put in a balloon.
A gigantic balloon, which I can understand, you know, clowns, balloons, circus, you know, but...
Yeah, but this is like a super impenetrable balloon.
Yeah.
That for did you notice when she hit it, it made the noise like it was like brick. Like, she wasn't getting through it, you know?
Yeah, I mean...
So, Dave catches back up with Mike and the Terenzi brothers, who run off because automatically Dave knows, okay, well, I know where they're going, obviously. Yeah. If you were a clown, where would you go? The amusement park! I mean, that makes such sense. Then we're just gonna completely waste time on the off chance that we're wrong, you know? Let's just go ahead and go.
I mean, like, there's not dire situations going on right now.
Yeah, it's just,
let's ride a roller coaster.
Probably the amusement park is where they're probably at. Because, you know, that's where they went beginning. Oh, wait, no, it's not. They went into a random field in the beginning.
Yeah.
Okay, so moving on. So,
oh, Lord.
They start running through this place, and they got Debbie. Of course, all it took was one pistol
shot.
Which
I want to evaluate this. This made me laugh, just because it was so stupid. Whenever they were getting Debbie out of the balloon, they had no idea how. They didn't have, like, a pin or anything, obviously.
And I love how Mike is beating on it.
I know, like...
but like Tarzan and stuff.
The 80s acting, it's just like he's going full force and he just stops right before he hits it.
Yes, because you can tell that they didn't have a lot of money for special effects.
Yeah.
So he is not hitting that as hard as he could.
Yeah.
It's supposed to look like he is, but he's definitely not.
But what Dave says, he pulls out his gun, like he's going to shoot it. And then Mike says, don't do that, you'll kill her. He said, it's okay, but be prepared to run. Which insinuated that, I know what I'm doing. Just be prepared to run if anything goes wrong.
Like, it made me think of the scene in Dumb and Dumber when he's getting ready to run off of the jetway, and the guy says, you can't go in there, and he says, it's okay, I'm a limo
driver.
Like, it would have been great if he would have said something like, it's okay, I'm a Crescent Cove cop.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that makes us feel so much better that you know what you're doing, because obviously you're running this town ship shape.
Yeah.
So they get her out, and they now have to escape the circus tent spaceship. So they're running around, and all these clowns are chasing them, and they get to this...
The point that I understand that there were clowns coming out of the door that they just came in, but they were walking around looking at it. Why couldn't they have just gone back to that same door?
Because that wouldn't have been interesting.
True.
I mean, this is a movie. We gotta have a chase scene.
Gotta make it interesting.
So they reach the end of this hallway, where they see a door. And so Dave's trying to fight him off with his shotgun,
which
just conveniently ran out of shotgun shells at this moment.
No, it didn't.
He empties his gun.
There's a point that I forgot to make. Whenever in the police station, after Mooney, you know, says all that stuff.
How could we forget this vital plot
point? I know.
I know exactly what you're going to say.
He drops Mooney, and he's got blood all over his hands. And Dave pulls out his gun and starts shooting, but he's... What makes it so stupid to me is that he's aiming at the clown's face, but the bullets hit his body.
I don't think he was aiming at his face.
Well, he had it angled like
that. I think he was shooting. Well, the guy was tall.
True.
I think he was having to shoot up a little bit, so he shoots him a few times in the chest and decides, okay, I got one more bullet left, let's put it at his face. And discovers that if you shoot this clown in their nose, it will kill him. I don't know why. Just accept that, okay?
Yeah.
There has to be a way to kill these clowns. Just punch them in the face really hard, and they'll die.
Yeah, and going back to the end scene, everyone knows that a shotgun sprays pellets. And he was a good 30, 40, maybe 50 feet away from these clowns.
If that.
If, maybe that. But he was shooting this shotgun, and these clowns were running towards him, and I don't know if they tried to make it more, you know, if the directors tried to make it more believable. Or not believable, but just kind of acceptance.
Yeah.
But a shotgun...
It's going to spray.
It's going to spray. And automatically, when he shoots it, it's like it's just one shot, and it hits him in the nose.
Exactly. You would think that that spray would hit at least another couple clowns in their face. But no, just the one.
Just that one.
So then his gun, he runs out of ammo, and you tell him, Mike, get the door open. And Mike opens the door. And what is there on the other side?
Another door!
So he takes the time to say, another door, and then open the door.
1 to 2 seconds.
And then there's another door. So then he takes another moment to say, another door. He does this 3 or 4 times. Okay, shut the hell up about the other doors and just open them. I'm like, why are you taking the time to say another door? It's ridiculous. So they finally get through the doors. And we should go ahead and mention before, Mike and Dave...
go into the tent.
No, before Mike and Dave save Debbie, the Terenzi brothers go in with them. Well, then they get dropped into a pit.
Well,
like a
ball
pit.
What was funny, as this was intended to be funny, and this was intended to make, you know, it was just intended all around. They were like, all right, I don't want to have to, Dave says, I don't want to have to look after you guys. So, just basically, he says, stay on my ass at all times. And then whichever one it was, he said, don't worry, we got everything covered. And then all of a sudden, for some reason, they just fall.
Yeah, I don't know why they fell, but they fall into a ball pit, and there's these two, like female clowns.
And
did you notice that, yeah, their breasts just start growing for whatever
reason. But
what
was funny is one of them said, are you Debbie's roommates?
all they can think about is women, and these were hideous. They were clowns.
Yeah.
Dressed up as women, and they're just like, maybe we can, you know, get some from these
We've
clowns.
We've been trying all night with that ice cream truck.
That ice cream truck hadn't been working. Maybe these clowns.
Maybe we should try ball pits.
So, you know, whatever works. So, they get into the other doors, and they get into, like, this big, like, arena, you know,
to set up
the final battle.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Which, I'm going to point out that the Terenzi brothers should have died right there.
They should have died with the female clowns.
They should have died then, but they didn't. I don't know why.
I agree. They should have died at that point, but no. And at this point, we think they are dead.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they're with the clowns, obviously. They're going to get it, you know.
Yeah.
So, Mike, Debbie, and Dave are in the big, like, arena, and the clowns start coming out of everywhere. So they climb up on this big, like, rafter, like, box.
It's like where the MC stands, where everybody's announcing
like,
it.
Like, you know, right there in the middle of the big top, you know.
Yeah.
They get up there, and they're just about to bite it. And then who drives into the wall but the Terenzi brothers in their ice cream truck?
Which
I don't know how they got out, got back and got their ice cream truck, and then proceeded to drive it perfectly into the wall in which the room where Dave, Mike, and Debbie were.
I mean, that just blows my mind.
That is some luck right there, you know, or a convenient plot point.
After that was what, maybe 10 to 15 minutes. And at that point, you see them inside the truck, and they've got, like, big lipstick kiss marks all over them.
And their shirts are ripped, too.
Yeah. But, one of them's just babbling, saying stupid stuff, not knowing what he's saying. He's like, I don't know what to say. And so the other one goes, give me the mic. He says, I am the great JoJo. You need to leave these guys alone.
And I love the looks on the clown's face.
And they just get all happy. They're like, oh,
it's JoJo, like our master. I mean, never mind the fact that they've never heard of this guy or anything. So they let him, you know, they let him go. And they get back with the truck and everything. So
I
want to
point out, they didn't let him go.
Well, they just kind of stood there
like in shock.
And they escaped.
Yeah.
So then they're in the truck and they're getting ready to leave. And then all of a sudden, this big clown puppet drops down from the ceiling, and I'm talking a big clown.
He reminds me of, did you ever play Rampage on Nintendo 64?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, it was basically an evil-looking King Kong.
Yeah.
Bloodshot eyes and just razor-sharp teeth.
That's a good way to put it. So, they go straight for the truck, and they pick up the truck with the Terenzi brothers still in it, and proceed to throw it across the room, and it explodes. So the Terenzi brothers died again.
Again.
Then it's Dave, Mike, and Debbie left again. Dave does the valiant thing that any noble hero would do and tells Mike to get Debbie out of there while he distracts the big clown.
Which is weird, because you would think that Mike would be the main hero.
No, but it is Dave. Mike is kind of a wuss in this movie.
Yeah.
He doesn't do a whole lot to, like, you know, help the situation they're in or anything.
He's gone. He's dead.
Yes, he's very impassive. He doesn't do anything. So, Mike and Debbie run out, and Dave is just frantically firing pistol shots at this clown.
Which, you would think that he had time to reload his gun after all the stuff that happened at the police station.
Yeah, but then he runs out of ammo. And all of a sudden, the clown spaceship starts taking off. So you're thinking, oh, Dave is not going to get out of there. Well, the clown picks him up, and he proceeds, oh, hey, I've wasted a lot of bullets. Let's take my badge off and stab his nose with it.
Yeah, which I want to make out that the gigantic clown was just slowly bringing it to his mouth.
Well, I think a lot of that was the special effects they had. I don't think they could do much better than that. Because, well, I mean, this is before CGI.
I know, but I think it was just for suspense stuff.
Yeah.
Just for suspense.
Well, that too. I agree with that too. So, it takes off, and then once he stabs that big clown in the nose, the whole spaceship explodes.
Which is improbable.
Yeah, I don't... I am at this point, I am so tired of trying to understand the things, and I'm just going with it. Just, you know what? To hell with it. I'll just go with it. I'll accept everything you give me. I don't give a shit anymore. So, the spaceship takes off. It explodes. We see Mike and Debbie standing there, and they're like, oh, it's all over, but poor Dave, he couldn't get out of it. And then all of a sudden, a clown car drops down, and Dave steps out of it. How'd you feel about that?
Not too good, because there was literally a split-second time whenever he punctured that clown's nose, and the clown was still holding him, that he got into a clown car that was nowhere near there. It wasn't even in there at all.
It wasn't in the space. It was sitting outside of the spaceship, but it was not in it. Yeah, I definitely agree.
But, I don't know. I just felt like the first time I watched this movie, I literally watched it and I said, that is horse shit.
Like, yeah, but it's just, again, another thing you have to accept. Although, for me, Dave should not have lived. Okay, Dave should have died, that valiant hero. And see, for him to live, it brings up that question about what's going to happen with Mike and Dave and Debbie. That's kind of a weird triangle going on. And the only way to really get rid of that is for one of them to die.
Yeah.
You know, because you don't dislike Dave. Dave's a good guy, and really, you don't have a reason to dislike Mike. I mean, you like both of the guys.
Mike's just annoying.
Yeah, but, and so, we think everything's over again, and everything's good, and then all of a sudden, here comes that damn ice cream truck again, and the Terenzi brothers step out. Now, this is twice that these guys should have died, and what's their excuse for living? Oh, we jumped in the freezer.
We jumped
really
in
fast.
The freezer.
Okay, there was no time from that clown picking him up and throwing him and that thing explode for them to get in the back and get in the freezer.
Which, I mean, if it exploded, it's not going to not hit the freezer.
I don't... But again, just go with it. The Terenzi brothers, it lived. Which, for a horror movie, this is a lot of people to survive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've got 5 people that have survived. Which is a lot for a horror... You know, usually a horror movie, you're left with 1, maybe 2. But in this movie, we're 5. And there's no reason for the Terenzi brothers or Dave to have lived, in my opinion. It should have just been Mike and Debbie walking away victorious, and I would have been satisfied with it.
Of course, in my opinion, that's kind of breaking the... I think they intentionally broke the rules of horror films. Just because it was something different. They tried to give it a happy ending, too.
Yeah, but, see, I think that was a bad choice. Now, I know this is a comedy horror movie, but let's talk about the very, very last scene. Debbie looks at Mike and says, it's all over, right? And then he says, yeah, sure it is. And then they get rained on by a bunch of pies.
Yes.
Like, it is a comedic ending to a horror movie.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if I like that ending very much. What about you?
I don't either, because that would like insinuate that there are still clowns loose in the town.
Exactly, because, I mean, I don't think all of them went in. And what's to say that these clowns aren't coming back? Like, it's just...
Yeah.
It was a very unsatisfying ending for me. And I know that's probably the only way, really, to end a movie like this, and I shouldn't harp on it and bitch about this ending too much, but, you know, that's what we're here for. We're here to discuss these movies.
It was a very open-ended movie that didn't really need an open ending.
Exactly. And, so, we're at the end of the movie, and I'd like to take a minute, because we really didn't discuss this very much, and talk about the music. This movie had a theme song, which you don't see a lot in horror movies. It had its own theme song, Killer Clowns from Outer Space, which you can hear at the introduction to this podcast.
Very good song. I like it.
Yeah, it is. It's actually on my iPod.
It is mine, too.
I'm almost ashamed to admit that. But here's another funny story, and this is... this is something that actually happened today. I was in my American Popular Arts class, and... we were taking a quiz over, you know, advertising and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And one of the questions was, which circus promoter started his greatest show on earth in 1871? And I'm sitting there, and I could not remember the guy's name. And for whatever reason, I started singing the theme song to this movie. And you know what? It gives me the answer in the song.
P.T. Barnum.
P.T. Barnum said it so long ago, there's one born every minute, now you know. So, you know what, Killer Clowns? You helped me get a question right on a quiz today, so thank you. Thank you very much. So, Tyler, this podcast has definitely been a lot longer than we thought it would be.
Holy crap, yeah.
Which is good. I like that. It's a good conversation. So I think we've reached the point in our show where it's time to ask you the eternal question. And I don't think we've explained to our viewers how we're going to do this. While we discuss these movies, once we get to the very end of them, to let you know if you should watch them or not, we're going to basically recommend or not recommend these movies. But since this is the Cinema Stool, and we mainly focus on shit, I have decided, Tyler, should we let this movie float? Or should we let this movie flush?
My opinion, float.
Float.
Let it float. This is a movie that you're not used to. It's cheesy, just bad acting, but it's also something that it keeps your attention pretty good. And if you like horror movies and you're a big fan of comedy, you will like this movie. I think that if you give it the time, you will learn to appreciate it as much as we have.
I agree. And I'm also going to have to say you need to let this movie float. I mean, I know there are a lot of people out there that would not enjoy this movie. But there's also a lot of underground horror fans that worship this movie. So, you know, for what it is, it's a good time. If you don't think about it, and I know this sounds ridiculous, but if you don't think about it too much, you can have a really good time with this movie. And it can be a really enjoyable experience. It's a good time to just throw your inhibitions to the wind and just say, who gives a shit about the rules and who gives a shit about the structure? Just go with it. And it is a good movie, and it's definitely worth watching. So I would like to take this time to thank everybody for listening to our podcast over Killer Clowns from Outer Space.
We enjoy having you all listen, if there is anybody listening right now, and I hope there is. Hope there's going to be a lot to come.
Yeah, I'm really excited about the future of the podcast. I think this is going to go places, and it's really going to, you know, start to generate some listeners. So be sure to tune in next week, where we will end our Halloween horror movie-ish retrospective with a scary movie.
One of my personal favorites.
Classic by the Wayan brothers. So We're all looking forward to that. Until then, be sure to tune in and check us out on iTunes. We are now officially up and running on iTunes.
Yes, we are.
Which is exciting. And be sure to check out our website at cinemastool.podbean.com and leave us a comment there. And like I said, be sure to subscribe on iTunes. And we will see you next week with Scary Movie. Tyler, thank you for joining me.
Thank you too, Jake.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for joining us here at Cinema Stool.
Where's my dog? Where's my Pooh Bear? How dare they stay apart with my bare hands?
If you've enjoyed this podcast, be sure to leave us a comment below and let us know your thoughts.
There's going to be thousands of people! Thousands of people are coming! They're going to have hot dogs! They're going to have helicopters and airplanes and tacos!
All films reviewed are copyright and trademarked by their respective distribution companies, and no infringement is intended.
That's McGreed's Jeep.
Who's McGreed?
Bob McGreed? He was up here tonight with me and Debbie. Those are his glasses. They got him. He's dead.
All podcasts are edited by Jake and Tyler. Be sure to catch us again next week. Same time, same podcast.
Do you think it's over?
Yeah, sure.